Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for this brief opportunity to review with you the new grant opportunities that the department has been able to at least apply for in the current state fiscal year. Before we get started, I wanted to share with you a little bit of background. As most of you know, the department's current budget for the current year totals $18.1 billion. If you dig a little deeper into that and see what sources are used to support that budget, you'll see that approximately 75% of our budget is supported with receipts. And the remaining percentage, then 25%, is supported with federal state appropriations. The majority of these receipts come from grant opportunities with our federal partners, as well as philanthropic foundations like the Kate B. Reynolds and the Duke Endowment. We currently have about 210 active grants that we are administering throughout the department and in all of our divisions. And many of these grants, as you know, are ongoing in nature and are renewed on an annual or multi-year basis. What I'm going to be sharing with you today are 28 new grants that we are in the process of either applying for or already have been awarded, and they break out to where we have received grant awards. That's where we've applied and received notice from the feds for 12 of those grants, and they total $8.1 million. We also have 16 additional grants that we've applied for and have not heard back from the feds, and that totals about $12 million. I will be going over these grants in some detail at our next scheduled meeting of the Joint Legislative Commission on Governmental Operations, so I'll give you a high-level overview today, and I'm doing that in two separate spreadsheets that I think you should have in your packets. The reason why they're different is we've done a separate spreadsheet for those for which we've already been awarded, and then a spreadsheet for those grants for which we've applied for. If you'll note that distinction there, what I want to briefly do is to go over the different categories on these spreadsheets, and they are different between spreadsheets, and I'll note those differences as we go along. Of course, we have each grant item on each individual sheet numbered for reference as we go forward. If you have any questions concerning those grants, by all means, we'll be more than happy to answer those questions. We also have the date of application. This is the date for which we sent the application to the federal government or to the other granting agency. We have the purpose of award. This is the description of the award and then how these funds are proposed to be used. We've also identified local subrecipients or potential local subrecipients. And as you look through the list on the two pages, front and back on each, you'll notice that a lot of these grants provide funding opportunities for local community providers, be them local governmental entities, nonprofit agencies, quasi-governmental entities, and as such. We've also tried to identify for you the years of award. And if you'll notice in that column that some of these grants are for 1 year. Some of these grants are also for multiple years. I think we have a grant on the sheet that's already been awarded for a five-year grant. And then in some cases, the feds are going to award these on a three-year basis, but they've only given us the first year of the award. So we wanted to try to detail that out for you. One of the areas that's different between the two spreadsheets is on the spreadsheet for those grants that have actually been awarded. We have the actual award amount, and then it's the original request on the spreadsheet for those for which we've made applications. And there are some differences here, and it's very explainable. And then oftentimes when we apply to the feds for a grant, there's ongoing negotiation, discussion between the state and the federal partners, and sometimes there are decisions to be made to increase or reduce that amount, or change that amount, and that's why oftentimes you'll see a difference between an original grant request and that amount which is awarded. The next column we have is the matching requirements. As you look through these two sheets, you'll notice that the majority of these require no match. However, there are a few that do. And for those grants, we've been able to cobble together through existing non-federal resources dollars to provide the matching funds, and these would have to be dollars that were already spent in an area where these grant dollars could be spent. We couldn't take money from the Department of Transportation and use that as match for a grant with HHS. So it has to be in an area where we already have activity related to that grant. We've also identified for you for these grants the time-limited FTEs that we've either proposed or been allowed to fund. And then we also have, depending on which spreadsheet you're looking at, the start date or the projected start date for each one of these grants. And again, with the grant amount, oftentimes the start date will change once we're awarded the grant, depending on how long it takes the federal agency to decide who the recipients of the grant are going to be, and also based on certain terms and conditions of the final grant award by the feds. Any questions at this point about the worksheets and how we kind of laid them out?
Do any of the members have questions of Mr. Slade at this juncture? I don't see any hands raised. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Given the limited amount of time, rather than going through these individually grant by grant, I did just want to share with you sort of at a division level an overview of kind of what's going on in rural health. On the sheet where we've actually received awards, rural health has gotten some money from several foundations to assist in some of their efforts around medication assistance, and also to provide assistance to safety net dental provider practices. That would be number three through the Blue Cross Blue Shield Foundation. Public health has received several grant awards. The one that I thought was the most interesting was number six, assistance to firefighters. This is kind of an unusual grant for public health in that you'll see their efforts here will be focused on 10 counties in North Carolina where there are a lot of issues with carbon monoxide poisoning. So they'll go in and do fire safety education, escape route planning, home safety checks, and those kinds of things to try to minimize the negative impacts of carbon monoxide in those situations. Social Services has received an award from the Urban Institute through the Ford Foundation. This would be item number seven. This item is to allow the department to work with counties to identify new business practices that will create better efficiencies in the way that we administer services going forward. This is kind of a hand-in-glove opportunity with our NC FAST project that we're working on currently as well. Division of Medical Assistance has been awarded a grant to work with those individuals in our communities that are both Medicare and Medicaid eligible to have better outcomes with regards to care, also to provide better quality of care and coordination. If you turn over to the second page, you'll see that mental health has received two grant awards. The first one, working with substance abuse identification and referral treatment. It's not been common in this state to date that we have done a lot of work in the area of substance abuse in our primary care providers, and this grant will work in that setting to try to minimize the amount of reoccurrence and misuse of substance abuse. And then the last one that mental health has received is basically a grant that is designed to help with surveillance around substance abuse providing technical assistance and training to assist substance abuse providers. Then the last one in this section is a grant that has been received by our Division of Health Choice Regulation to work around criminal records checks to make that whole effort more efficient, especially around the areas of direct patient access of employees of long-term care facilities, and also to be able to notify their employer if there have been any criminal record activity related to those employees since their original check. With that, Mr. Chairman, I asked if there are any more questions.
Thank you, Mr. Slate. Are there any questions from any of the members concerning this segment of the briefing? If not, thank you very much for your comments.